Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're a little bit later again because, of course, as I was about to start, we got some breaking news that Tesla has dramatically lowered prices here in the United States and also in Canada. We'll see if other price cuts are looming in other areas, but right now, huge price cuts in those areas. We're going to focus on that. We do have other items to cover as well. Tesla stock today up 0.33%, but doesn't really matter as we'll see what happens tomorrow with these price cuts. The NASDAQ up 0.6% on the day today. All right, so getting into the price cuts, Tesla now, the lowest priced Tesla in the United States, the rear-wheel drive Model 3, now starting at $43,990. This is after significant price cut, and Tesla has also added information about the $7,500 federal tax credit, which I know I'm covering a bit on the screen there, but prominent front and center now on the order page as well as on the homepage. Tesla walked through all of the requirements that allow eligibility for the tax credit, and the price caps, which now the vehicles, a lot of Tesla's vehicles now fall under those price caps, including the standard range, or the long range rather, 5-seat Model Y. So let's look at a chart here of all of the price changes. We'll look at a graph as well, but here's a table of all the price changes since 2021. It's been a while since we've broken this tool out, but we can see here these dramatic price cuts. So $3,000 only on the rear wheel drive Model 3. So not as big of a difference there. $9,000 on the performance Model 3. Looks like about a $8,000 difference on the long range version of the Model 3. That is not available in the design studio, but is available in inventory in some locations. Looks like that's now starting at $49,900. The Model Y, that's where we're seeing the biggest cuts. $13,000 price reduction on the long range 5-seat Model Y. Again, that does slot it in under that $55,000 cap for the tax credit here in the United States. The performance Model Y, slightly above that at $56,990, and then seeing significant cuts on the Model S and Model X. The opening long-range price version, the opening price long-range version, $94,990 for the Model S, $109,990 for the Model X. And then the plaids both cut by approximately $20,000 or so. So you can already see here on the side, the price changes since the beginning of last year and the price changes since the beginning of 2021. So although we do have significant price cuts here, a lot of the vehicles, especially the lower price opening price point versions, are still more expensive than, you know, what they were 2 years ago. Now, obviously we've had inflation, we've had cost increases since then. Hopefully though, what we're seeing, you know, what we hope to be seeing is prices coming down in the supply chain as well. Tesla has talked about that. That's probably going to be lagging a little bit as we see that. But, you know, we're certainly at a completely different place with production than we were at the start of 2021, where we are now. So with that, and hopefully with, you know, some relief on where cost of goods sold would have been through this period of time where we did have higher prices, you know, hopefully margins can sustain at a decent level. So looking at this graphically, you know, I think it tells a pretty good story of where things have been. Unfortunately, Excel makes this point to point, so you can't really see how these carried through over time. But, you know, we're still significantly higher on a lot of these vehicle prices than where we were in 2021. If you look at the Model 3, for example, the opening price Model 3, 16% higher at this point than at that point. So, you know, although these are stark and pretty drastic immediate price cuts here, it does create a lot of eligibility for the federal tax credit, especially here in Q1, where there's still, you know, we're still waiting on guidance from the IRS on exactly how the battery minerals and components criteria are going to be met. So during that period of time, might as well get under the threshold for a lot of these vehicles and, you know, sell as many as you can during this period of time. So I think Tesla's going to be going all out on production. I think they'll pretty easily fill their order queue. Obviously margins aren't going to be, you know, most likely the 30%, you know, 25 to 30% level that we've seen throughout 2022. But this should really secure demand for this period of time, especially with the tax credit added in. All right. So looking at this, you know, the Model 3, you can see there, the Model Y, the steepest cuts, that one is getting, you know, a little bit closer to being where things were in 2021. And then the Model S and X, of course, we had the refresh since that period of time. So production now getting back to the levels that it was previously, but Tesla's still holding those prices a little bit higher. So going back to 2020, you know, when these prices were around this level, Tesla, as I said, still had relatively strong margins. If we go back and look at 2020, Q1 margin, this is automotive gross margin, excluding regulatory credits. You know, Tesla's deliveries this quarter in 2020, Q1, 88,000. Then we went to 91,000, 139,000, 180,000. Of course, last quarter we saw Tesla top 400,000 vehicles delivered. So completely different level of scale here, but similar pricing. So as production grows, cost of goods sold per vehicle comes down. Anyway, during that period of time, Q1 2020 automotive gross margin X credits, 20%, 19% in Q2, 23.7% in Q3, and 20.7% in Q4. So obviously international pricing is going to, you know, influence that as well. It's not all just the United States, but you know, this doesn't mean that Tesla's gross margin is just immediately going to zero. They're going to be able to sell these vehicles at a very healthy profit. Again, maybe not the 30% that we see here in some of the quarters in 2022, but should still be, you know, well above the automotive gross margin industry-wide. That's probably the biggest point here. I would, you know, maybe Tesla investors are sitting here and feeling a little bit nervous about where things are heading, but I think that doesn't compare at all to how legacy automakers, startup EV makers are probably feeling sitting here looking at these price cuts from Tesla. This is going to make it extremely difficult to compete in the EV space and, you know, increasingly difficult to compete in the internal combustion engine vehicle space as well, on top of pressure that Tesla has already been applying. You know, Elon and Tesla here are just putting the pedal to the metal, going all out. You know, as Elon said on that Twitter space, he's going to choose production over margins and, you know, just keep pumping these vehicles out. So on one hand, you do have the margin disappointment, but on the other hand, you've got, you know, I think there's a lot to be excited about with the competitive position that this puts Tesla in and the pressure this puts on their competition. So it's going to be a very interesting year. You know, we're already off to a hot start here, but I think that's going to continue. And for some reason, I feel like a little bit excited about it. I don't know. I've already had people like texting me and asking about pricing and stuff. So it's going to be, you know, we'll see how these order queues change here over the next day or so. It's going to be interesting to follow as well. As I mentioned, Canada price reductions as well. I don't have the table for that, but Drive Tesla Canada recapping that. Looks like Tesla cut prices as much as 21% on some versions, and the Model 3 opening price point Model 3 is now eligible for an additional electric vehicle incentive that it used to be eligible for and then was no longer eligible for. Now is back in there as well. So big price cuts in Canada and across North America. All right, I think that's all on the price cuts. I guess let me know if you have a question. I'll try to keep an eye on that. But let's move on to some of the other news that we had today before this. First, from Bloomberg, they're saying that Tesla China plant expansion in doubt over Starlink concerns. So again, another report of unnamed sources here. And they're saying that because of Elon Musk's ties to obviously Tesla and to SpaceX with Starlink, Giga Shanghai expansion is being put on hold for that reason. From an expansion that would have boosted output to 2 million vehicles per year. So we know that Tesla in October and November hit a rate that would be above 1 million a year. So this would still be a huge expansion for Giga Shanghai if this report were accurate in terms of the plans. If that would be the case, if it were accurate, sounds like that would now be delayed. But again, unnamed sources, we don't know. I had previously heard that there were further expansion plans for Giga Shanghai. I haven't really heard too much about that for quite some time. So I don't know, maybe there's been a delay there that could be due to just the market in general, could be due to change in plans from Tesla, could be due to the concerns that are mentioned here. I think there's a lot. And oftentimes grains of truth here get reported and not the full picture. So it wouldn't surprise me if there were some delay in expansion plans, but I would be a little bit surprised if it were solely due to Elon Musk and Starlink and those connections. So, you know, we'll keep an eye out for any more news on that. But as we talked about earlier this week, we did see Idra announcing shipping a Gigapress over a 9,000 ton Gigapress to Asia, which, you know, maybe that ends up at Giga Shanghai. So a lot to follow there as we unfold this year as well. On some of the other rumors we've had, Indonesia did comment. Of course, Elon responded to the Tasmanian article about Bloomberg's article about a preliminary factory possibly for Indonesia. Indonesia basically just said that, you know, the talks are still ongoing with Tesla and that they had had recent conversations, but you know, nothing has been decided on that front. And then on the Mexico reports that we have had, Mexico News Daily reporting that a Chinese supplier that supplies Tesla has invested $100 million in a factory nearby the location that is supposed to be the location for a Tesla factory if that ends up being the case. So we had previously mentioned investment of Tesla suppliers in that area. It looks like that is continuing. So this is going to be a very interesting earnings call coming up with all these rumors on factories and with these massive price cuts that we have now seen in China and the United States. So that is a January 25th, so set your calendars for that. All right, more expansion plans. These are confirmed. So this is in the Houston area. Tesla is expanding there. They have filed for permits for a 1 million square foot building in this area near Houston. And some of the details here from the Houston Chronicle, they say that this would be basically for a building that is a warehouse with more than 300 trailer parking spaces. They say that it's set up for docking capabilities for very efficient loading and unloading. They say that they're advertising a lot of positions in this area for warehouse and logistics, and that one position would be for advertising on social media. So, misread that one, but basically the positions that are being advertised on social media are for logistics, and it sounds like primarily related to warehouse type of activities. We've got a further report from Houston Business Journal mentioning similar things, saying it's not clear what Tesla's using the building for, but one of the council people there, councilmen there, saying that they don't have official confirmation that it's a warehouse, but that is what they believe it's going to be for battery storage. So what battery storage means, a little bit unclear, but I would imagine that this would be, you know, not a factory for Tesla, but rather some sort of satellite facility that is assisting production in some way, shape, or form. So we'll see if we can get any more information on that, but that is a report for that today. And then just a kind of a fun thing here, we've got a tweet here from Tesla Japan with some new merchandise for the Year of the Rabbit in Japan. My favorite here being these socks with, we've seen the Cyber Owl quite a few times. Now we've got the Cyber Rabbit there for customers in Japan on these socks, which are pretty cool. Then an update on Tesla Charging, or from Tesla Charging here, retweeting someone that found a Starlink satellite or a Starlink receiver at a supercharger, and Tesla Charging retweeting that saying Wi-Fi coming to a supercharger near you. So this isn't the first time that we've seen these Starlink receivers pop up, but this is, you know, interesting to see Tesla Charging acknowledge this, and could be an indication that we're going to start seeing a lot more of this in the near future. All right, and then looking at some macro stuff just to kind of wrap up, and then we've got something on Lucid as well. We did get the CPI report this morning. It did come in pretty much as expected, so we won't spend a ton of time on it. But one thing here that's really interesting to highlight that has been, you know, pretty heavily discussed on social media is that we are seeing the price index excluding food, energy, which that is core, and then also excluding shelter, which has really been driving services up. If we exclude those categories and we look at a rolling 3-month annually adjusted number here, which is what we're looking at right now, we can see that this has dramatically dropped off over the last 6 months or so. And shelter is one of the categories of the CPI report that takes a lot of valid criticism because of the reporting methodology and I guess the data collection methodology, which we can talk more about in a future episode. But there's a lot of reasons there that make it a lagging indicator. So if other areas of the CPI report are coming down when we exclude some of these things, it should be a good sign that some of the core things that are driving inflation are really dissipating to an extent. So it's really good to see this come down, and that has now continued, which is a positive sign as we head into the next Fed meeting in early February. So I mentioned the shelter component. We can see that on the blue line here compared to just core CPI, which does include shelter, but you can see just how steadily that has risen over the last year and no signs of slowing down yet. So that's still driving the overall CPI up. It's a big component of it. But if we exclude that, then you can see a different story. So important to look at the below the headline numbers as well. And this just kind of breaks it down, you know, where services or where core goods are coming in, services excluding shelter, and then shelter driving those things you know, the services number and the total number up. All right, lastly then, an update on Lucid. They have announced their fourth quarter production and deliveries. They produced almost 3,500 vehicles in the fourth quarter. I think that was up about 50% quarter over quarter. So pretty strong production growth. They did hit their guidance, which they did reduce in August. So call it a hit of guidance if you want, but more recent guidance to their already lowered guidance on the production end. But you'll notice that they're talking about production in the headline here. In their summary, they talk about production. We do know, though, that they delivered only 1,900 vehicles in the quarter. So 3,500 vehicles produced, 1,900 delivered. You've got about 1,600 vehicles there being added into inventory. Lucid does have inventory on their website, and it's not exactly clear, you know, how many vehicles are in that, but they've got a lot of different configurations, as you can see here. And adding 1,600 vehicles, if we use the same inventory, days of inventory calculation for Lucid that we do for Tesla, I'm not sure what their inventory coming into the quarter would have been, but just this quarter alone, that would have added 60 days of inventory. Each day is about 26 vehicles. So when you've got 1,600 there, 60 days of inventory, that's way above, you know, where Tesla is at, probably above where the automotive industry is in general when we bring in other inventory that Lucid probably brought into the quarter. Maybe it's not a fair comparison since they're probably ramping up production more towards the end of the quarter. It's harder to deliver those vehicles, but certainly getting into a situation here where it's looking like Lucid might have a bit of a demand issue on their vehicles. Tesla cutting the price on the Model S and the Model X by, let's see where we're at on that, you know, $10,000 on the low end and then even more on the high end, $20,000 or so there. That's just going to put even more pressure on Lucid. So we'll see. Definitely an interesting time in the automotive market right now, and of course elsewhere, but really heavily focused in auto right now. So, all right, that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, January 13th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.